It's almost certain that our networks of warning stations would detect bomb in time for you to reach shelter or at least take cover. It's important that you learn to recognize the attack warning signal and not confuse it with
the Self-Genius Hour of Slack.
Listen carefully to the instructions.
Your life depends on how well you follow them.
Check out NorelPref.com. Friends, you are in luck because it's the Ask Dr. Hal show this time and the Question Dr. Philo Drummond show. Yes, friends, fresh from the Ask Dr. Hal nightclub act that made him the toast of San Francisco. Well, that and the show on KPFA and his books and his magazine illustrations and his comics. Well, anyway, fresh from those, we got Dr. Howell at our end-of-the-world drill. And we got Dr. Philo Drummond, the overman himself, the second slackliest subgenius next to Bob. And, of course, friends, this show also features the collages of those two classless cut-ups, Mr. Fernand and Andy Lee Murr, and Norel Pref, and lots of puzzling evidence. So let's go straight to those questions.
So. Okay, sometimes if the writer of the question writes something really, really stupid, I may just skip over the stupid
That's
part.
That's what Chicken John does, but I know Chicken John, and you're no Chicken John.
I'm no Chicken John, and glad to be not Chicken John. All right, question from the audience, Dr. Howell.
Yes.
Is it true that NASA is hiding the fact that there is indeed life on Mars?
Well, NASA is terrified that its budget will be cut even more than it is. And recently they even cut the budget for giving away stickers that say NASA and little bookmarks with the planet Saturn on them. Even those have been cut. Similarly, long-range robot probes, which were NASA's bread and butter, meat and drink, seem to be in danger from the whirling Freddy Krueger-like knives of the Bush administration budget acts. But the Bush administration does want the bold, imperialistic exploration and exploitation of the universe by humans in spacesuits to go on, though for all the wrong reasons. So it shows nobody can be wrong 100% of the time. Now let's consider our neighborhood planet Mars. Steven Spiegelberger has just released his new exciting version of War of the Worlds. But do they come from Mars in the movie? I'm told they don't, because today's know-it-all teens think they understand that there's no life on Mars. I'd like to ask them, have they been there? Can they tell for sure? How do they know? They think they know. Their herd-following fellows may snicker.
That's probably
that
what their study groups told them. You know.
But, in fact, there's a great deal about Mars that we don't know. Now, Percival Lowell looked at the surface of Mars and saw the canals there. And we say, hey, we don't see canals. Well, why don't we? Because they're not there anymore. The planet Mars changes, and it especially since the canals themselves may be comprised of motile organisms. There's ice on the planet Mercury, folks. There's water on the moon. There are all sorts of things that we don't really understand or know about for sure. One thing that there is on the planet Mars is something called the giant glass worm. Has anybody here heard of it? Reverend Stan has heard of it. Magdalene has heard of it. Philo has heard of it. No one knows what it is, but it sure looks like an enormous transparent worm many miles long. Well, that face, you know, who knows? I'm willing to think that face just might.
It's just a fossilized plant.
If you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and you look at the towel hanging on the rack in front of the toilet, you see a face that's in there. It's because humans find a face in everything, a pattern recognition. But that worm is more difficult to explain.
Okay, you're getting into the $3 range now.
All right, well, I'll stop here.
Pack, building weapons of mass destruction.
American interference.
The U.S. is serving up rhetoric and not facts. Better intelligence.
There are no facts right now to back up anything the administration says. No one has made a case based upon fact that Saddam Hussein or his government is a threat to the United States worthy of war.
And God's presence is peace and joy and power. Walking and talking.
The watchers of the great holy space ones came.
Of another space and time, with the infinite space in the divine right order of star.
Heaven, harmony, the reign of spirit. Bliss, the atmosphere of soul. Man.
And here, the space angels telling me.
Sensuality.
Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot confide a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
It's our role as journalists to challenge the president. It's a hard job.
I'm supposed to be funny.
He really doesn't have a clue. If you really want to end tyranny in the world, I can pronounce nuclear. He tried to milk the horse. What's worse, it was a male horse. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Thank you for all the good work that you and the press do.
Where those who perceive truth may strive to make others see. I have therefore chosen this time and place to discuss a topic on which ignorance too often abounds, and the truth too rarely perceived, and that is the most important topic on earth, peace. What kind of a peace do I mean, and what kind of a peace do we seek? Not a Pax Americana, enforced on the world by American weapons of war. Not the peace of the grave or the security of the slave. I am talking about genuine peace, the kind of peace that makes life on Earth worth living, the kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope and build a better life for their children, not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women, not merely peace in our time, but peace in all time.
I'm supposed to be funny.
He really doesn't have a clue.
Norrell Pref did that. And now, a bit from the Puzzling Evidence Show with Dr. Philo Drummond and Bishop Joey from the Church of the Last Laugh.
Then I'll see everyone at 6.
Close the garage door, caller.
Oh, wait a minute, I got one thing.
And it's for the children this time. Remember.
Remember, no obstacles. Only challenges.
Leave no children left behind. This is for the odd, the steep, and the fugly.
The show is for the children.
Bud Fugly. You know who you are. This entire control scheme is elegant and simple. And despite the complexity of some of the situation, changing between first person and third person modes is easy. Be part of the action this time, caller. Don't just fold back into the universe. Bloody hell, caller. Bloody hell.
Is he okay?
He's hurling again. He's got this kind of complex singing patterns. He sings and hurls at the same time.
The heartbeat's gone up. Everything's gone up on the scales here.
Your silk shirt. I need to wipe this up.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to play that game.
Isn't that Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing is Dick Cheney was at X-Day.
I'm going to push the edge.
Dick Cheney was at St. Stupid's Day Parade. I can affirm to you that Dick Cheney appeared where Dick Cheney appeared.
Pushing the edge over to this part of the table.
I was in San Francisco one day, and I saw two Dick Cheneys in one place.
Dick Cheney before he...
That was just his doppelganger. That was Dick's doppelganger.
I thought it was Dick Cheney. The other guy's not Bush. I can tell that. Just from the evil little horns and the little pitchfork. And little red suit gave it away, too. And little tail teeth.
Well, God of War has been getting a lot of attention, and deservedly so.
Philo, Bishop Joey, and Puzzling Evidence. And now, a lonesome cowboy Dave and the Mondo Retardo Band at 8X Day Drill.
I'll move the reds, gonna make you a slut, so. Gonna make your whole life uncertain. Gonna cry boo-hoo, oh Lord, what did I do? Why am I still hurting? But this is America in action, man. The USA at its best. Kill them all and let God sort it out and let the devil do the rest.
And that was Lonesome Cowboy Dave and the Mondo Retardo Band, live at 8X Day Drill. And now, let's go to Berkeley, California, for this intersection with the Puzzling Evidence show.
Hey, the show's stuck on Dick Cheney there. Somebody just
Dick
knocking
owns
the side.
Dick Cheney,
I've been playing Half-Life 2.
Owns the 3 to 5 a.m. slot.
Dr. Hal again.
Does Dick Cheney own the 2001 that goes on in my mind all the
Dick
time?
Dick Cheney owns the mind that goes on in your mind. Dick Cheney owns you, caller. That's right. Subjugate yourself. Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice in 2008 will be the ticket. That's my prediction. That's right. I'm
so,
betting
yeah,
the house
you know,
on that.
I got funding recently from a Republican National Party to shoot inside Dick Cheney, and we're going to do it like inside John Malkovich.
Inside Dick Cheney.
That's it. And you just pop into his head. That's what you should do for your video.
It. That's the one. That's the video. Yeah, there, like that's the documentary.
A three-minute treatment of Inside Dick Cheney.
You liberals love documentaries, and you
just
love
like the
John
movie,
Malkovich.
Go inside, yeah. And so, you see Dick Cheney's
Dick
world.
Dick Cheney. Yeah, it got real boring. You know, kind of like looking at his shoes.
A lot of files.
At a meeting.
And then the Bush guy's voice going,
talking
you know, you're looking down
away.
At the desk. Just a shot of the desk. Looking at it, right?
Okay, now I have been actually to the real Dr. Hal show on a number of occasions.
It's true.
And in the audience, I was able to see that the questions come in general patterns, and that they probably, after all these years, Dr. Hal could probably put most of the questions into several loose categories. And this is one that I saw asked on several different occasions, and I think I even asked it myself on one or two
it's
occasions.
It's hard to come up with new ones, but don't let that interfere with your
so here it is.
Doing it.
Can God make a burrito so big even he can't eat it?
Yeah, Father. Can he, Father?
Can he, Father?
Can God make a rock so big he can't lift it, Father?
Can God dig a ditch so deep he can't jump across it? Yeah.
Can Dobbs make a frop stick so big
he can't smoke it?
It.
He'll fall over.
You hear in these questions, in the same variant of the same question, the reedy voice
ways.
Of the village atheist.
Yeah.
Who is attempting to confound
can God dig a booger
the divine
so big he can't
miracle.
Take it?
But, of course, the faith-filled person knows that to God or Allah or whoever, all things are possible. That is the concept there. So, you have to start asking at a certain point, would the Almighty Spirit create rules which he, she, or it would not obey? And the answer is yes. But that doesn't mean that the rules couldn't be superseded. According to some, this is the way miracles occur. That is why it's foolish to look for evidence of miracles in our system of physics and existence, because there miracles can't occur. But if you are Shakespeare and writing Hamlet, you can make changes which Hamlet will have to obey, although Hamlet may not intuit the existence of Shakespeare. So to what would appear miraculous to the character, the author may change, and then once he does make the change, the rest of it simply flows in the normal and ordained fashion. And so if it were necessary to the divine purposes, by which I mean purposes larger than me, larger than you, larger than anything we know in this life, if it were necessary, it would be. But it isn't likely, I must also add, that things created for a yokel's diversion will be that necessary.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Thank you for that great answer. Now I have another slight version on that same question.
Yes.
If God goes ahead and makes this burrito so big that he can't eat it, and yet he eats it anyway, can he still defecate it intact?
Well, that's even easier to answer than the last one, but I know why you wrote that down. You simply like to think of that unimaginably large turd. But I'll tell you, folks, when we say God, what are we talking about? I think largely we're talking about the Judeo-Christian deity, who William Blake called Nobo Daddy, and who we in the Church of the Subgenius often refer to as Jehovah One. If this being is to be identified with the God of the Old Testament, then that makes it incredibly easy to answer this question. Because you may remember, in the book of Exodus, Moses, at the end of a long life, asked to receive a reward for his services to the Lord. He wanted to see God. But God told him, no, you can't do that, because my divine effulgence would blind you, wither you away into a little grease spot. If you tried to look into the heart of light, into the divine presence, you would be withered, as hapless Semele was when mighty Jupiter revealed himself to her. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do, said God, and I'm paraphrasing here. It's in the book of Exodus. You can see my butt as I pass by. It's there. It's in the Bible. And so Moses was allowed
my shiny butt, right?
To see
what is
God's
exact
buttocks
words?
As he passed.
My glowing
he couldn't
ass.
Look at the front because it would have withered and blinded him with the glory of God. Now we know that God made man in the image of God. So, of course, if man has a butt, so does God. Therefore, the heavenly burrito that you imagine would emerge from between these convexities, as your imagination has doubtless already treated you to a vision of.
This massive turd. This unshittable turd.
Maybe we'll get a good question.
Let's, all right, next. All right.
From PR News in Washington, I'm trapped deep in the Pacific Ocean today after a security scare, but the main question remains, how long will PR News last? Crude oil carried out an operation today in Haditha, Iraq. Russian officials got caught on a fishing net and became stuck for many hours. On Wall Street, 2-10-5-3-6-2-1, British Prime Minister Tony Blair has announced a new package of anti-PR measures, much of which is designed to keep out or deport those who incite PR News, Washington.
We'll move on to the $1.03 question. How much dental work did Bob need to achieve his perfect grin?
You know, this is a somewhat cynical question because it assumes that Bob has to strive for his effects. But Bob does not have to labor to produce his results. The important thing to remember about Bob is by surfing the luck plane, he achieves his results such as they are effortlessly. That is in the nature of being a perfect sub-genius and in following one's own genius without demur. If you can only have the faith in Bob to fall into Bob's open arms, then you will not need any expensive dental work at all, providing, of course, that you don't need any before you make that leap of faith in the dark.
Okay, there. That's a good answer there.
And let me just tell you this.
To shock women into uncontrolled hysteria.
Let me finish.
To strike terror into the hearts of men.
Let's join hands.
Overfull with fantasies of terror.
And say to the world,
we are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
Terrorists. Terror. It is, and I believe this is an ideological movement.
Terrorism should be number one.
Not since the beginning of time has man known such terror.
No. No.
Ah! Topple governments.
To strike terror into the hearts of men.
Yeah, it's tough. Terrorists. A lot of people saying, well, you know, they don't know what they're doing. I believe that
terrorism and the fight and the war on terror right up front all over again.
That's a huge mistake.
Things so evil, so fantastic, so degrading. You wonder if it isn't all a dream, a nightmare.
Always a pleasure.
Rat. Rat. Ow.
No, we're not going to advocate violence of any kind. We're against violence.
No, I know.
We don't believe violence ever solved anything. There, you can always talk it out.
Say anything.
We have words so powerful they'll stop bullets. We have words that are so powerful they'll stop atomic blasts. In fact, during the next atomic blast, we plan on using a word shell. We're going to stay inside the massive word shell, safe from any radioactivity.
And if you'd like to know what that secret word is, we can protect you.
Well, it's a whole bunch of words because it takes big words and thick words. We're going to stack them against each other, and they have to be at least 16 feet thick to absorb all the radiation and the potential blast. But the words are so good and so really long. They're long words. And a lot of them are made up by Dr. Howe. And you know how he is. He's a wordsmith. He pulled out, he went into his word bucket and pulled out some really complicated words. He took that one book called Tumors of the Eye. It has a lot of caucus and sockalamacus in it and stuff. A bunch of dinosaurs nobody knows about. Stacked them all together, 16 feet thick. And that's our word shell. We get behind it. It protects us from any evil and any potential destruction by political forces, even unknown.
That's why Dr. Hal's not on the show tonight. We have him locked up in a secret place.
He's ginning out words right now. Just bam, 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 bam. Word, 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 word. He's sitting down there. He's going to come up with new words by the second. The sirens are there to keep the traffic back because Dr. Hal, he's got to stand in the street to do this. It's the only effective place to gin out the words as fast as he needs to do it and in rapid succession because they got to be stacked in a way that's so precise that you can't even get a knife blade between them. Nobody knows how they did it.
Aliens.
They had alien technology to stack words like that.
That's right. Get that precision.
Those word stackers
and
packers,
No lasers.
They can pack words so tight and dense. They can take words and use algorithms against them to compress the words into even being denser words.
Small.
So that they're so small you can't say them fast enough. If you were saying these words, it'd be going. Now, here is one that we can all get behind. Timely answer for today. Our question. What is in my hot dog? I assume you mean the constituents of hot dog sausage in general?
That's probably what is meant. You know, just last year, there was a sad funeral in the Pacific Northwest. I forget whether it was in Washington or Oregon, but they laid to rest little Oscar Mayer, the famous midget pilot of the Wienermobile that used to travel around. Little Oscar, the world's smallest chef, he died and was interred.
He was a weird-looking dude.
He was a midget. He was a trooper.
I met him once. But,
yeah, well, he knew kids all over the country, and they knew him, and they would pull out their little Oscar Mayer weenie whistles and play the familiar four-note musical signature, which indicated that Oscar Mayer meats are dandy, so always keep them handy. Oscar Mayer meats are treats for any meal. Now, the question here is, what's in my hot dog? Well, of course, what's in the hot dog tend to be the meats that one would expect, but also ancillary meats, though. The horn and hide, a little bit. The probable insect and rodent parts, a certain viable percentage. The gristle, the mesentery, the loose sheets that hold the organs into place, and some flavor and shavings of the organs, too. And by being compressed and cooked, these ingredients intermingle on a molecular level to produce the je ne sais quoi, the ne plus ultra that you can only get from biting into a delicious, fully cooked pneumatic hot dog. The thing to do is to eat it without considering what is in it, and never investigate sausage making if you intend to go on sausage eating.
Did you know, were you familiar with the person that created the caseless system?
The caseless sausage system?
Right.
Are you familiar with that?
No,
individual?
I just wanted to know if you, I'm sorry. No, I shouldn't ask a question.
Well, there was the Weenie King, that guy retired in Florida who gave a large amount of his money away. But they've been making sausages for years. In the 18th century, they used the actual intestines of the sheep for the casing.
They but still do that in Mexico, by the way.
Yeah, for chorizo.
Well, even here in some applications.
But today's large factory farms and meatpacking institutions have found a way to produce it synthetically and rapidly as the groaning stomach of a growing nation demands.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Howe, for that excellent answer. Here's one. One of our audience members wants to know, the people of Atlantis versus the Amazons, who would win?
Well, the people of Atlantis versus the Amazons. The Amazons were locals. They lived in Africa. But the people from Atlantis were another diaspora. They had to flee their home. It blew up, and the part that didn't blew up sank. And they spread across what is now the Middle East. They were these Atlanteans who fled once their wonderful capital city of Poseidonis was destroyed with its circular walls and its roofs of orichalcum and so forth. They became those people who are known in the Bible as the Philistines. We think of them as being bad. Indeed, the name Philistine means to us a person who is uncultured, crude, and crass, who isn't with the information and the social context that we have. But this is entirely a parochial view. The Philistines had a lot going for them. And the Amazons, on the other hand, were great warriors, but that was about all that they were. And so where are they now? Where are all imperial empires of the past? Simply dust. Dust into dust, and under dust to lie. But, on the other hand, the Weasley peaceful types managed to survive. They keep their generations keep turning over, and perhaps the rat will stand on the top of the heap of all of human hopes once these are exhausted. There's a value, a positive value, in being adaptable and none too proud. One should not sacrifice beauty for a militaristic spirit. It's said that the Amazons did do this. Their queen, Hippolyta, set the style by having one breast removed. This enabled her to draw the bowstring and shoot the notched arrow better, according to some tradition. The word Amazon, when parsed in Greek, means without one breast. But how much of this nonsense are we expected to believe?
Excellent, excellent. I think that will certainly clear up the ambiguity around that topic.
And your complexion, too.
From PR News in Washington, I'm subjected to inhuman treatment. The big computer maker Hewlett-Packard said today that it plans to strike near the border in an effort to stay competitive in the computer and printer markets. The big commission charged with closing and reorganizing the nation's PRs voted today to add PR News to its closure list. In stocks today, 71.10.66.28.21.73. The big British government announced today that it will try three of its soldiers on war crimes charges for allegedly abusing PR News Washington.
Well, let's keep winding
okay,
we'll our keep way through
this stash.
A brisk
pace through this stash here of questions. Is there anything I should be paying attention to?
Yes, you should be paying attention to the beating of your own heart, especially in the still small hours of the night. Who knows? Perhaps it might just stop. It's just a piece of muscular tissue, after all. What if the whole thing gives way? What if your physical organism should collapse and fail to sustain you from nanosecond to nanosecond? Where would you be? Would you be able to say that you have led a slackful existence, that you've done all you could for Bob and the Church of the Subgenius, and done all you can to bring others into a realization that there is such a thing as slack, that the ambitions that are held up before you every day, dangled like a confusing charm, are only so many kickshaws in the ultimate scales of reality? You should pay attention to the fact that you have only so many breaths left in your life to take, and so many jolts or pulsations of pleasure which you may legitimately be expected to feel. Don't let these flow and stream away, but pay attention to them, consolidate them, and take advantage of them while it is still possible. For the love of J.R. Bob Jobs and his flaming Church of the Subgenius. Thank you.
As Jeroen van Braam said, you have to shout and make a lot of noise or whatever, because when you're dead, you shut up like hell. You said that in sort of Dutch accent.
Well, that's appropriate.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is all show. All of this is rehearsed, scripted, completely planned out in advance. So even though it sounds like live radio, we want you to know that this is all simulated. So don't become emotionally involved. Don't become psychically connected to us beyond that which you would give to any ordinary show, much like your favorite sitcom. Should you choose to watch sitcoms, that is, much like your own future technology and our new sidestep crossplant technology.
Lou Dobbs
stimulates
tonight.
Your mind.
If I was watching some sort of Lou Dobbs tonight with all the Lunding bombings or whatever.
Lunding? Yeah. Lunding bombings?
Lunding bombings. I would know that, you know, subgenius kids or subgenes would, Bobbies, all them, they'd have nothing to do with all this nonsense going on lately. You know, it's just...
Yeah, that's one thing about subgenius terrorist squads. Don't use
bomb
types of weapon technology.
We'd rather slack and, you know, enjoy
fruit and vegetables.
We would enjoy frog and just hang out.
Right,
and,
but we would also, if we were going to have a like a slack squad that was going to go out and do, you know,
wow,
special
see,
things,
say it on the radio,
terrorist activities.
True.
Those activities would have to involve fruit and vegetables.
Yeah.
And food, things you could eat.
Because
when it's all over with, our terrorist activities should include a big potluck dinner, you know, for everybody just to kind of gather around together. When we can exchange those loving glances and special secrets.
So is this the beginning of the new show, or is this the...
Well, this is one of the new shows, because as you may know, the show has to be different now. It has to be different. We actually have to do something that's going to make us cut, make us get through, make us...
President Bush skipping. He's going to go down.
Bend over and grab the ankles.
Once again.
Bend over.
Whack, whack.
Bend over.
Whack.
Bend over.
Whack, whack, whack. Whack.
It is just, it's the Republican Party of...
Shut up!
The Republican Party of...
Shut up!
The Republican Party lost its way.
Double,
double, straight.
It's like pee.
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 Pee. Just shut up!
It is just, it's absolutely absurd.
Come out.
Whack, 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 whack. Goes.
Shut up!
It's absolutely absurd.
Really irritating. I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired.
The president.
Rap.
A liar.
Rap.
He misled the American people.
Rap.
He concocted the war for political gain. Republicans are evil, brain dead, corrupt. Republicans are evil, brain dead, corrupt. Bomb them. Slash. Bomb them. Slash.
I'm tired of these.
Corrupt, brain dead, evil Republicans.
I'm really irritating.
Okay, speaking of intestinal walls, this may lead us into this next question. Why are feces brown?
Well, if you're a painter, if you've ever worked with paints or colors, you might know that, think of it this way, in nature, in the divine world that has nothing to do with humans, all the rays of light being put together produce white light, produce brightness and glory. But when humans make their colors and mix them together, they get muddier and muddier and darker, and before it gets to be pitch tar black, the last thing you have is brown, the ugliest color on the color wheel. Why is feces brown, or why are feces brown? Because all has been leached out of them except the presence of bacteria. You know, feces is like solid bacteria, a lot of it. So this is only what one would expect. But often, as you examine your leavings, you may find that they do fluctuate and vary in color. And there's no stigma to be attached to this. Aristotle examined his own poop, and so should you from time to time, simply as a measure of guarding one's precious health and indulging in the pleasures of hypochondria and a morbid imagination, which all sensitive people have.
I find that the examining of one's poop is something difficult to get enough of.
Yes, well, you can take that too far and get into examining the privacy of others.
Well, if it takes more than an hour, you should not take more than an hour examining your fecal discharge.
Too much is always better than not enough, Dr. Hal. I thought too much is always better than not enough. Aren't we supposed to follow Bob's rule exactly to the letter?
Well, you have to be getting something. There is too much the wrong thing to be considered, and too much looking in the wrong direction, casting your line in the stream where there are no fish. No, what you want are too many results. Those are never enough, but too much searching is simply a sad seepage.
What about too many missed opportunities?
Well, missed opportunities, missed connections, wrong way, subway tokens, what have you. The important thing is to get connected on some level.
Too many tickets past their due date. Should I close the cover before striking is a question that's on a lot of people's minds tonight.
Well, that's what it says. So why do you suppose they say that? They don't want you to light your whole box of matches at once. But you might get something out of doing that, you see. So I'm not going to circumscribe your pleasure. I should say that if you want to live dangerously, strike your matches with the cover open. It's easier when you get the cover out of the way. The flap can get in the way of striking a match.
Okay. Very important.
From PR News in Washington, I'm concerned about money.
Tony Blair went back to sleep.
New York Congressman Charles Rangel says he had hoped the unions would not go their own way because he says it means no solid PR news in Washington.
Which is preferable, tilted luck plane or level?
Well, if the luck plane is level, then you have to achieve your own speed by surfing it, skidding around in it, and this is fatiguing. It can be done, and there are vigorous people who can do it and prefer it that way, but consider that for so many years, with no motive power but the wind, we managed to sail the seven seas. This wind power is universally available. So if the luck plane is tilted, you should use that as your motive power to help give you a start, so that as you slip, slide, and volplane over the luck plane, you are less fatigued and able to enjoy it more.
And much like that game of Labyrinth, if you can suddenly find yourself in the place where the luck plane is tilting toward, then it should have a corresponding amount of overabundance of luck heading your way.
A facile optimism, but what of it?
Too much luck is better than not enough luck, Dr. Hal.
Indians got screwed.
Duh.
It's really their country.
Duh.
White Europeans.
Duh.
Brought to this country syphilis and other disease and sexism, racism, and homophobia.
I'm sorry.
And if it weren't for all of that, this would really be a great country. White Europeans had just stayed where they were.
Not here.
Understand the threat.
Oh, no, look at this.
To Western civilization, not just America, Western civilization posed by Western civilization.
You lose your rights.
The real threat to America is America.
Your game.
Old
game.
Old.
I want to marry the goat. And start to scream and yell. All day long. Flush.
BS.
Toilet. Game. Insanity.
BS. Fascism.
So.
Fascism here. BS.
Kill all Americans.
Time. Fascism here.
This is.
Fascism here.
Fascist.
I'd like to.
Kill all Americans.
Walmart.
Tuberculosis.
Walmart.
Bang.
Syphilis.
Hurt. Me.
Jack.
Me.
Leprosy.
Me.
Biological weapon.
Morons. Whip me up. What?
Leprosy.
Bang. But you got it?
What to do?
Me.
Get together.
Me. This is life or death.
Obama bin Laden. Obama's bin Laden.
Okay.
I got a feeling down.
Making it very hard.
Bang.
That doesn't bother you.
No, it does not in the least.
Bang.
If I caught you, I'd hold you too. I'd hold you too.
And bombs are going off. I'd hold you.
Zombie.
Fascism.
Zombie.
Fascism.
Zombie. Fascism here.
Zombie.
Fascism here. When the government starts telling everybody
dissent, couldn't care less.
Why are some of my molars called wisdom teeth?
Well, they call them that because becoming an adult is considered to be synonymous with getting wisdom. It's simply metaphorical, as all language is metaphorical. But, of course, if only wisdom did come with the getting of wisdom teeth, those three root molars. Of course, as you know, there are 32 teeth that grind or chop, 16 on the bottom, 16 on the top. And the molars, which come behind the premolars, have three roots and are wedged into the jaw deeply. Dentists really have to exert to yank them out. These are the wisdom teeth, and getting them was once thought to coincide with the getting of wisdom. Today, the adult aspires to be a teenager, to go back a little ways to an earlier stage. But in times past, those who were not fully grown wished to receive their full growth. Now, I've always been somewhat childish myself, of a childish nature, and therefore I've always wanted to be an adult. This is what babies do. They want to be big, but adults do not have this desire. Instead, they wish to be teenagers all their lives. And so, through a surfeit of childishness, my attempt to be an adult shall probably last me the rest of my adult life, having gotten and even lost some of my wisdom teeth.
Well, the pink boys are all around you right now, out there. Most of them are still asleep, but they're going to be waking up very shortly and going about their daily business with the mediocritans and the technocrats and all the various bureaucrats in public places and private other crats, all just wandering around aimlessly, singing little songs, singing this song. But they'll sing it with... What? Does the universe create life?
As if the universe is in the life creation business. The universe creates life as a byproduct. The purposes of the universe are not to create life. You know, we think of that. We are living things, so we think that it's all for our benefit. Well, it has squirted us out as a byproduct. But the universe is in the midst of all sorts of grinding and polishing operations. And a little bit of free energy squirted in our generation is all that we, fungus-like, have needed to fuel our ambitions. It's quite true that there is a part of matter that would like to be alive, that would like to be organized. Even in the inorganic, we see certain types of high organization in, for example, crystalline formations and structures. You see how there is an organization inherent in matter, but it'll only go so far. And it is fueled by energy which is coming from elsewhere in the busy try works and rendering factories operating throughout the universe. They are doing their job, and we exist on the leavings and gleanings. It is unfortunately so.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that excellent, excellent answer.
Don't mention it.
OK, Okay, if this is one that I think the answer is already given in the question.
Often that is. The question often contains the answer. You simply have to dissect it out a little bit. Well, what is the question?
If a chicken and a half can lay an egg and a half in a day and a half, how many Denny's Grand Slam breakfasts can a chicken and a half excrete?
Well, that would be one and a half.
One and a half.
The half is what's constant here. And it's odd that in what often stands for an average actually contains an unworkable fraction. It was at one time said actuarially that the average American had one and a half children. Now, how can you have half a child? And yet, this represents an average. One never sees an average because an average is only an abstraction. And to try to be like an average is, of course, a species of madness which no subgenius participates in. I seem to remember...
So can I ask your opinion of measures of central tendency in general?
Let's see. Being average in life's every action gave a fellow named Norm satisfaction till his average wife wrecked his average life by refusing to bear him a fraction.
Is there any other measures of central tendency that you have a prejudice against?
There you go. You think that I'm prejudiced when I'm only attempting to answer in the most free and unencumbered measure possible. Suspicious minds will always find what they look for.
These occurrences are pure figments of imagination. Any abnormal sound? No!
Was OBE, Out of Band Experience, from Bill T. Miller. And you can just scoop up mountains of albums of King of Slack, Bill T. Miller, at BillTMiller.com.
Now, Catholic Christians eat the host as a sacrament. Is there any way to take a physical piece of Bob into your body? And is nuclear war inevitable?
Well, Ivan, do you want to tell them about the subgenius transubstantiation?
There are children here, aren't there? I don't know.
Well, you know, we're talking about taking a little bit of Bob into the mouth and the digestive system. You know, the Catholics do believe that in the transubstantiative process, the wine and the wafer actually transform into the actual flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what parallel is there in the Church of the Subgenius for this?
He sold it, I smoked it, that settles it.
There you have it.
But the ashes out of Bob's pipe?
Well, we produce ashes for Bob's pipe. Let's put it that way.
We are the... We're what? We're the unsmoked. We're what he smokes.
The
in
dottle.
His pot.
The dottle. The dottle that rains on the roofs like fire. See, even in the glory of our incineration and our fiery destruction, we redound to the credit of Dobbs. A pillar of fire by night and a pillar of smoke by day, ascending upward always from the bowl of Bob's pipe. For man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And only in embrace of one's subgenius nature can one get off this destructive cycle and on to the supporting wheel, the great wheel of the saucer, which will whirl down to seize us all up into the rupture.
Any minute now.
Well, I think you're a little premature. It won't be quite.
Right this second.
Yeah, I mean, we still...
Now, what about the second?
We don't know. That's Bob's message from all previous...
But what about the second part of the question?
We don't
know. We never know when the master is coming. Yes, a certain nuclear war is inevitable. That's the second part of the question. As long as we're building those bombs, we're going to have to use them sometime. Just can't let them be unused.
Blood. Blood. B-L-O-O-D. Call it money. I'll expose money. Makes us want like slaves. I'm going to expose it. It makes you selfish. It makes you lie. It makes you cheat. Gentlemen, stink. How about a little stud?
Hey, Golden Boy. How do you spell money?
B-L-O-O-D.
One S or two S's.
A shopping bag?
This stands for everything. There's greed and sudden death.
And now Hitler answers. Didn't know what hit him. Unbeliever, that will cost you double.
You cheated me with the truth.
People are always getting murdered. Come in. To dig into the foul backwash that sends a smell over this moldy metropolis.
I hate you.
I'll reach down my little ass, see if I can't pull you out. Zombie. You look like a zombie. Police don't have ideas, they have imagination. This is your joy, boy. Who are we? What are we doing here? Start thinking.
I don't get it.
It's boring.
I'm a big man. Dr. Blood.
You're so masculine.
Come on.
I could use company.
Now you're talking like my boy.
He'll tell you you're wacky.
Business as usual. My mama done told me if you keep them warm, they'll perform. Oh, well, that's life. Not my fault, really. My mother wanted a boy, my father wanted a girl, my uncle wanted an electric train, my aunt wanted... She was a pacifist, she wanted peace. I'll be down later, guy. Pretty big load for a young fella to carry. Where are you going?
Where I belong.
Norrell Pref! And now... Lonesome Cowboy Dave and the Mondo Retardo Band, live at 8X Day.
This is America in action. USA at its best. Kill them all and they've got so now. Let the devil do the rest. It's bound to be your grave. It's bound to be your grave. It's bound to be your grave. It's bound to be your grave.
That was Lonesome Cowboy Dave and the Mondo Retardo Band. And you're listening to the Subgenius Radio Ministry Hour of Slack, number 1008. And if you need more information, check out www.subgenius.com. Or you can write for information from Subgenius at P.O. Box 181-417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio. 44118.
Sure. On Monday, we get more of Tuesday.
Wednesday, making its way into Thursday, finally moving on down towards Friday, right into the early part of next week. Notice that we've got a slightly more concentrated area of southeast as that northwest begins to lift a little farther northward across the southeast, right back into the southwest here in the Midwest and the Northeast. Sharon?